Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Sending In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. Great to be back with you guys, and now the summer is just going to roll on through because the football season previews are finally here. We're going to preview a college football team every day on the show leading up to the start of the season. We'll also preview all 32 teams in the NFL as well starting today. And what better way to kick things off than by talking about both of the champions? We're talking Ohio State today. Andrew Gillis is going to join us here in a little bit to get his thoughts on the Buckeyes for the upcoming season. Then we'll look at the Philadelphia Eagles for the upcoming season as well. We also got 10 games on the MLB slate tonight. We'll give out some best bets on the diamond. Then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, love to hear from you guys. Anything you have on Ohio State, anything you have on the Eagles, anything you got in Major League Baseball tonight, Wimbledon, Summer League, anything you guys have on your mind, let us know. Hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X. We'll get to your questions throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. All the previews we do in college football and NFL, you'll be able to check out right there on the podcast. Let's get things rolling. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Andrew Gillis, who joined us a ton throughout Ohio State's playoff run last year. We have him on to kick things off this season as well. Make sure you guys are following Andrew on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Covers Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. And Gillis, let's just start with the offseason, man, right? Ohio State poured a lot of money into that roster last year. It paid off for them as they win the national title. So what's the offseason been like for Ohio State football heading into the season?
Alarmingly calm, I think, in some ways. I think last year it was very much a you have to win X amount of games. You know, the three goals, they talk about it all the time. You have to beat Michigan, you have to win the Big Ten, you have to win the national championship. And the seniors that had come back, you think of the Jack Sawyers, the Denzel Burks, you know, the guys on this team that had been kind of through the ringer a little bit and had lost to Michigan a few times, they all came back. So obviously we know what happened, that they didn't beat Michigan, they didn't win the Big Ten, but they won the national championship. So last offseason compared to this one, man, there was a lot of pressure last offseason. There was a lot of, oh, what if you don't do it? What if you, you know, what if you don't reach your goals? What if this happens? What if that happens? This offseason, it feels like things have been a little bit calmer. It feels a little bit like Ohio State is almost like going under the radar in some ways. You know, we're going to talk about the Texas game, I'm sure, and they open up against Texas and a five-star quarterback, and Ohio State might have a five-star quarterback too. It's just his last name isn't Manning. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of, you know, unique angles of this Ohio State team, of a team that's still going to be pretty good. It just feels like the noise has just been turned down from 11 to probably like a 5.
Yeah, I mean, look, you bring up that week one game. I mean, Gillis, there's a great chance that that's number one versus number two in the country. Mm-hmm. When those rankings come out, it's obviously going to be a rematch of those teams playing in the college football playoff semifinals last year. At this point, it's obviously still super early. We have a little less than 2 months to go until the start of the season, until that game. Do you expect Julian Sain to be under center for that game against Texas as Ohio State's quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was very interesting when we went into spring practice because, you know, if obviously everybody watching this is a sports fan, you know that coaches are prone to coach speak. And we kind of went into the year thinking, man, this is Julian Sain's battle. This is going to be him. We get to spring practice, and we went to a few practices early on, and the things that we had been hearing were, No. Lincoln Kienholz is actually pushing Julian Sain. This is not lip service. This is a genuine quarterback battle. And then the spring game happened, and you just kind of started to get this thought in your head, like, maybe Julian is just a gamer because you know, this is cliche, but the way that he throws the football, it just looks different, right? The way that he moves, the way that the ball leaves his hand, it looks a little bit different than everybody else in that room. And that includes Lincoln Keenholz, who is, you know, four-star player, and Tavian St. Clair, who's a five-star freshman. So I think it's going to be Julian. I think Julian's got the best arm talent in the room. I think he's got the best arm talent that probably they would have had since last year, because I think he might be a better passer than Will Howard was. Will Howard just had so many other things that made him, you know, what he was, where, you know, he's a big guy, he could run the ball, leadership, all that stuff was off the charts. Julian, I think, though, is probably going to be a better passer, which I think for a lot of people is a little bit of a scary notion considering the talent that Ohio State has at the receiver position.
You know, one of the most interesting things coming into the season for Ohio State is that they lost both of their coordinators in the offseason, right? Chip Kelly goes to Vegas. He's with the Raiders. Jim Knowles obviously goes to Penn State to be their defensive coordinator. So that's a really interesting storyline heading into that game, right? Not only are you going to be starting a new quarterback, but you're also going to have new coordinators on both sides of the ball. Who's the bigger loss, Gils, you think? Is it Knowles on defense, or is it Chip Kelly on offense for you?
You know, I don't mean this to be disrespectful to Chip Kelly, because there were games that Chip Kelly called last year where I thought he was just in his bag. I thought the Penn State game, he was unbelievable. I thought the playoff games were unbelievable. There was that play to Jeremiah and the touchdown in the national championship game, not the bomb that everybody thinks about where they sent him in motion, sent him back. Like, he had defenses in blenders sometimes, and they very clearly could not keep up to Chip Kelly. But I think it's Jim Knowles, and I don't really think it's close in terms of the bigger loss, because it's not about necessarily who you're losing. Obviously, that's a big part of it, but it's also about who's coming in to replace him. And Brian Hartline has been around the program for a while. The offense is kind of based around what Brian Hartline has done, right? You know, he has Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate and Brandon Innes, and there are five-star freshmen that are on the depth chart and on the bench at Ohio State that at many other programs in the country, we're talking about them as the number one or number two receiver. And, you know, we're talking in Columbus saying, is this guy going to play? Like, is this guy going to see the field? So the offense is kind of built around what Hartline has done. Hartline's been around. I don't really have a ton of concern about that, just with the talent. Defensively, Matt Patricia is stepping into a college game that he has not been in a while. Obviously, everybody kind of knows how, you know, his NFL career ended and how his NFL career kind of fizzled out. So I think there are some questions about what Matt Patricia is going to do in Columbus. But that defense is also losing a lot. You know, you're losing your starting four defensive linemen. You're losing your senior captain and middle linebacker, Cody Simon, which I think is a bigger loss than people think. You know, you're losing Denzel Burke. You're losing Lathan Ransom. You still have a lot of great players on that defense, but you're losing a lot, and then you have to replace a new coordinator for a game against Texas week one. That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with. So I think it's Patricia, because that defense is going to have to figure some things out on the fly.
That's why I love doing these previews, Gillis, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening, right? They're like, Matt Patricia's the defensive coordinator at Ohio, right? It's like crazy to think about, but he absolutely is taking over for Jim Knowles. We'll talk with Andrew Gillis here on Send It In. So no more Jim Knowles in Columbus, but Matt Patricia is going to have arguably the best defensive player in the sport in Caleb Downs. We know he's going to be another top safety in America. Anybody else on that defensive side that we should keep an eye on this year? Because even though Downs was awesome, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Jack Sora was really the heartbeat of that defense. Obviously had some massive plays throughout their playoff run. Anybody else on the defensive side of the ball you think could have a big year?
Yeah, you know, there's a few guys, and I think I'll list these two guys together. Bo Atkinson, he was a transfer from North Carolina. They took him in the portal window in the spring. That's going to be a really, really interesting addition that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to, because Bo Atkinson paired with their three tech, that's Edric Houston, one of their defensive tackles, I think could be really good. I think Bo Atkinson needs to be really good. I think Edric Houston is going to be really good. They're going to have, I think, a really, really good starting defensive line. The depth questions on the defensive line, that's an issue. It is a 100% problem, I think, in Ohio State, that if you have an injury or two, or you play a team like Michigan or like a Penn State or like a Notre Dame that can just kind of ground and pound, you start to wonder about the depth of that defensive line. So those two guys, Bo Atkinson and Edric Houston, I think should have a really good year. And then just kind of for fun, I think one guy that I'm certainly keeping an eye on is five-star freshman Devin Sanchez. I think he's a corner, and I think Jeremiah Smith set the bar here. If Jeremiah Smith just set an unrealistic standard, Devin Sanchez probably is not going to reach that. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say he's not going to reach that. But Devin Sanchez might be really, really good. And he might be one of those guys that plays, and you watch him play against, you know, maybe not Texas, but maybe Penn State on November 1st when the Nittany Lions come to Columbus, and you go, wait a minute, that guy's a freshman? Oh, man, like that guy's going to be a top five pick. Like he has that in his range of outcomes, I think. So they've got a lot of talent there. It's just about putting it all together.
And he gets to guard Jeremiah Smith every day in practice, which should definitely help him as well. Gilles, we've got about a couple minutes left. I want to talk about the schedule with you. Obviously, we got to talk about the Michigan game, right? That's been the thing that Ryan Day has been unable to figure out. He's won his national championship. He's won the Big Ten. He just hasn't been able really to figure out Michigan. He's only been able to beat them the one time. They've lost four times in a row. Do you think this year, though, is going to be different? It's going to be in Ann Arbor. We'll see how Bryce Underwood pans out for the Wolverines. But what do you make of that game in Ann Arbor?
God, that's so interesting because, you know, Jeremiah Smith had a story a couple of weeks ago where I think The Athletic interviewed him and he said, we're not losing to Michigan ever again. You know, we're not going to lose in my other 2 years here. And then a Michigan commit basically just said, we're not losing to Ohio State. So it's one of those things where people are already starting to look at it. And I think Jeremiah kind of symbolizes everything right now with this program of, yeah, you got your national championship, but your biggest rival and the biggest rivalry in college football, they're able to look at you and kind of point the finger and laugh. So it's going to be interesting. I am curious if that end of year meeting that became so famous for Ohio State, where they lost to Michigan, it felt like the season was ending and the world was kind of collapsing around them. And they kind of had this meeting where they kind of aired everything out. And apparently Ryan Day, you know, took accountability for a lot of what happened. And I'm starting to wonder, do they get that mentality of we have to be the bigger, stronger, tougher team over Michigan? If they get that out of their head, I think they're going to be okay, because the receiving talent is just remarkable. They're going to have a lot of talent defensively. But if they can get that we have to run the ball to win that game out of their mind, I think this could be a different year.
30-second Gillis, win total at BetMGM's 10.5 for Ohio State, juice to the under, minus 145. So odds makers expecting a 10-2 season from Ohio State. Are you kind of on that same wavelength, 10-2 season, 11-1? How do you see it playing out?
I think 10-2. I think if I had to pick right now, I think they're going to lose to Texas week one. There's just a lot of new on that Buckeye team. And then you look at the rest of the schedule. Penn State at home, do you buy the Nittany Lions with James Franklin this year? Maybe, but they also play Michigan, like we said, and if they go 1-2 in those games, it's enough to get you in the playoff. They're still a playoff team, but that's 10-2. So I would go 10-2 because I think that they're going to have that kind of trip up against Texas early. That Illinois game is going to be tricky too. October 11th on the road, Illinois I think is going to be pretty good this year, and Illinois might be a trap game for them.
Yeah, some tricky road games. The Illinois game, the trip to Seattle against Washington could be a little bit of an interesting one as well. Talk with Andrew Gillis. Give him a follow on X at Andrew_Gillis70. Does a great job covering Ohio State football for Cleveland.com. Gillis, have a great rest of your summer, my friend. Something tells me we'll be having you back on to preview Ohio State Texas week one. Look forward to it.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, PJ.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. And Sean, throw up that beautiful graphic, man. We have missed it. Look at that thing. Guys, we are so back. Schedule preview, Ohio State Buckeyes, of course. Can't take away your eyes from the week one matchup against Texas. Then they have Grambling, Ohio, and a bye week. So after the Texas game, very easy for Ohio State. And then we start Big Ten play. And they have that tricky game off the bye, flying across the country, taking on Washington and Seattle. Then the sandwich game against Minnesota, as Andrew mentioned, road game at Illinois, which could be tricky. How about another tricky road game? Never easy to play in Madison at Camp Randall. And then off the bye week, they get Penn State. And then obviously three more games before you get ready for Michigan. The win total for Ohio State is at 10.5, right? As I mentioned with Andrew, under 10.5 wins is minus 145. So juice to the under. Odds makers are expecting Texas to win, or expecting Ohio State, excuse me, to win 10 games this season. And all of that is pretty much dictated, I think, on what happens week one against Texas. I think if you like Ohio State to win that game against Texas, probably over 10.5 wins, I think, is a good bet. If you like Ohio State to lose that game week one against Texas, then I think under 10.5 games is a good bet. And I'm in the mindset that I'm liking Texas week one, and I'm liking Ohio State under 10.5 wins. I think there's a bunch of reasons to really like Texas in that week one game against Ohio State. The first one being what Gillis was talking about. There's so much new on Ohio State. They're losing both of their coordinators this offseason. They're going to be starting that week one game against Texas, and they're not going to have Chip Kelly anymore as their offensive coordinator. They're not going to have Jim Knowles anymore as their defensive coordinator. And Matt Patricia steps in as the defensive coordinator. And Matt Patricia on defense is kind of giving me vibes to what, like, the Wink Martindale on defense was for Michigan last year. It's like going from Jesse Minter to Wink Martindale. It's kind of the same thing going from Jim Knowles to Matt Patricia. So I really don't love that move for Ohio State. I don't think people really remember just how leaky Ohio State's defense was at times before Jim Knowles got there. So losing him's a big deal, especially going up against Sark in that Texas offense week one. Another reason I love Texas, the last 3 years, Sark has played really good teams, or has played in really big games, I should say, the last 3 years. They played at Michigan last year in week two. They played at Bama the year before in week two. And then they played home against Bama 3 years ago in week two as well. They obviously won last year at Michigan by nearly 20 points. They won in Bama. They beat them by 2 scores. And then they lost Bama 20-19 3 years ago, but they were 20-point underdogs in that game. Sark has shown the ability, since he has been at Texas, to always have his teams ready to play in those early season big time matchups in hostile environments. He's always got a good game plan. His defense always plays well. They're always well prepared. And I love that for them going into Columbus in week one. How about it's a revenge spot too, right? You get to play the team that knocked you out of the college football playoff, the team that beat you in Dallas. You were right there. You had first and goal at the one. Sark calls that toss play. And then obviously we know the rest with Jack Sawyer's scoop and score, and Ohio State wins the game. But Texas, they probably feel like they should have won that game. Now they get a chance for some revenge in week one against Ohio State. So you got to love that for them as well. I just really like Texas in that game. +3, money line. I think the new OC, new DC for Ohio State, the fact they're starting a new quarterback in Julian Sand, Texas's ability, how well they have played the last 3 years in those marquee spots, and then, the revenge spot, I think, is a big thing for them as well, playing Ohio State, who knocked them out of the playoff last year. This Ohio State team also reminds me of the Bama team that Texas played 3 years ago, when I felt like Bama had the two best players in the sport, one on each side of the ball, Bryce Young on offense, Will Anderson on defense. That's the way I feel about Ohio State this year. I think they're Bama from 3 years ago. Best player on offense, best player on defense, with Jeremiah Smith at receiver, and then Caleb Downs at safety. That Bama team won 10 games. They were 10-2, missed out on the college football playoff because there was only 14 playoff back then. Now with the 12-team playoff, or actually now with the 14-team playoff, I think Ohio State is going to end up making the playoff only with the 2 losses. But I do think that they're going to lose 2 games. I think they're going to lose to Texas, and I would keep an eye on the Penn State game as well. I know a lot of us look at Penn State, obviously with James Franklin's track record, losing all those top 5, top 10 matchups, and you'll never trust Penn State in a big game, and I get it. Here's my thing with James Franklin, though. There are some coaches in college football, and this is what makes the best coaches, or they get the best out of their teams, and they win games that they're not supposed to win. When they don't have a team as talented as the team that they're playing, if they win those games, and they win those games consistently, that's a reflection of the coach. James Franklin, as we know, is the king of winning the games that he's supposed to win and losing the games that he is supposed to lose. I'm not so sure Ohio State's got a better roster than Penn State this year. If they do, it's close. With all the returning production that Penn State has, they're one of the best, most complete rosters in all of college football this season. So the fact that for the first time since Franklin's been there, pretty much, Penn State has either a comparable or maybe even a little better roster than Ohio State,
I could absolutely see them winning that game. Then, obviously, you have the game at the end of the year against Michigan, and then those two road games against Illinois and Washington could potentially be tricky as well. But I think there's a reason why the under 10.5 is juiced so heavily at minus 145. I like Texas week one, which means if they win that game, Ohio State, we just need one more loss out of them the rest of the year. I think we get it, so give me under 10.5 wins for Ohio State for the upcoming season. Not going to bet Julian Sain to win the Heisman. Too much unknown for me with the new OC, what the play calling is going to look like. We obviously saw Ohio State lean on the run heavily. I have some questions about their offensive line. Jeremiah Smith's a stud. He's going to make whoever is the quarterback look really good, but I'm staying away from any Heisman odds. Not betting Ohio State to win the Big Ten National Championship, staying away from that as well. I'm betting the win total under at 10.5. How about the Philadelphia Eagles coming off of their Super Bowl victory? When I look at the Eagles' schedule, what jumps out to me
a happy
is,
Tuesday.
Is
welcome
how
in the Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM
what jumps out to me
Network.
Is how difficult. Oh, Sean, I got there you go. Thank you. What jumps out to me is how difficult the start and the end of the schedule for the Eagles is for the upcoming season. So obviously, they open the season against the Cowboys week one, rivalry game. Then you have to go on the road and play the Chiefs in week two, home against the Rams in week three, at the Bucks in week four. That has been a house of horrors for them. Then you get Sean Payton and the Broncos in week five as well. Giants in a rivalry game, division game on the road, short week, and then you get the Vikings on the road in week seven as well. And then the end of the year, look at how the Eagles end the schedule as well. You got at the Chargers, home against the Raiders, at Washington, home against Buffalo, and at Washington. Eagles and Washington expected to be battling for the division. So those two games, last 3 weeks of the season, could end up being big for the Eagles. They obviously got a tough middle part of the schedule too, right? You're playing some NFC North teams, Packers, Lions, Bears. You got the Cowboys sandwiched in there on the road as well. For a team that won the Super Bowl, you would expect to get a difficult schedule, and that's what the Eagles have, is a difficult schedule. But the start to their season, man, I mean, Dallas week one, they should win that game. They're favored to win that game, but there's a lot of unknown with Dallas this year. How Dak is going to look coming off the injury, what Brian Schottenheimer is going to look as head coach. Then you obviously got to deal with the Chiefs in a Super Bowl rematch on the road. The Rams were probably the team that played them the toughest last year in the playoffs. And then the Bucks has been, I mean, Tampa's been a nightmare for them the last couple of years. They got smoked in the regular season this past year. They lost in the playoffs the previous year. Tough start to the schedule for the Eagles. When I look at the futures market with Philadelphia, their win total is at 11.5, overs plus 110, under is minus 130. NFC East, they're minus 150 to win the division. Super Bowl, they're plus 600. Number one seed, plus 325. To make the playoffs, minus 475. And to miss the playoffs, they're minus 360. I'm not doing anything with the Eagles in the future market. I'm a little bit concerned that the Eagles, being a veteran team, especially on offense, could suffer some injuries this season potentially, right? Obviously, A.J. Brown's not getting any younger. Saquon was able to stay healthy last year, and we finally saw what a full Saquon on a good team could finally do, and he was awesome. But obviously, his history with the Giants, you always got to be concerned about that. Jalen Hurts, with how physical he is and the tush-push, he's always getting banged up and dealing with injuries throughout the season as well. And as great as the Eagles' offensive line is, again, those guys are getting older, right? And we know how important it is for Lane Johnson to be out there and Mailata to be out there and those guys. So the Eagles stayed relatively healthy last year, and they were able to win the Super Bowl because of that. I worry about them maybe suffering some injuries this year. The defense obviously should still be really, really good. But the Super Bowl hangover, as we know, is real. The Eagles have been a great team in the regular season here the last few years, so that's why I don't want to bet against them and go under 11.5. But the schedule is tricky, so I'm going to stay away. Nothing for me in the futures market when dealing with the Eagles. All right, let's talk about a promo that we have at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token, and BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. You score a bigger payout if your wager with the parlay token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and SGPs. All right, let's talk some baseball here on Send It In. Give you guys some plays for today's slate. B-Mills, hey, Peach, who are your early looks in the Scottish Open this week? B-Mills is going to be honest with you. Was doing college football prep today, NFL prep, obviously, for the Eagles. So have not looked much into the Scottish Open
You guys know tomorrow's a teed up Tuesday. We'll talk about it on Wednesday as well. So make sure you stick around for tomorrow and Wednesday's show. We'll give out some Scottish Open picks. Also, how do you like Addison Barger? Two plus hits, runs, RBIs at minus 120. Machado, one plus RBI at plus 165. And Luis Arraez, one plus RBI in the four spot. Look, I like San Diego. I like their matchup tonight against Arizona. Darvish is back for the Padres, so that should give them a lift. I think targeting their offense is a good look. About to give out some going streaking plays here in a little bit, B-Mills. I did end up taking a guy on the Padres, so I do like targeting that offense tonight against Gallen and Arizona. As for some plays in baseball today, Rays and Tigers in Detroit. Shane Baz going for Tampa Bay. The Tigers have not listed a starter yet. They're underdogs at home, which I think is telling you a lot. Give me Tampa Bay on the money line at minus 115. Rockies and Red Sox in Fenway tonight. I'm going to pass on this game. You got Richard Fitz going up against Austin Gomber. Two pitchers that haven't really thrown a lot this season, that have had some nice starts, haven't had some great starts. So I'm going to pass. Marlins and Reds in Cincinnati tonight. Brady Singer going up against Jameson Junk. Marlins have been playing really good baseball as of late. Junk's been good for the Marlins. Singer's been pretty good for the Reds as well. I'm going to take under 9 runs in that one. Dodgers and Brewers, this is the game of the night with a terrific pitching matchup. Yamamoto going up against Freddie Peralta. Brewers are plus 110 at home. I'm going to take Milwaukee as home dogs because of how good Peralta has been at home this season. He is 5-0 with a 1.76 ERA. So it's going to be Freddie Peralta and the Brewers at home. Andrew Haney going up against Noah Cameron tonight. Noah Cameron's had a really nice season. He's got a good ERA, but it almost feels like he should be pitching for the Pirates because he's having a nice year and his win-loss record is absolutely terrible. Kansas City is only 2-7 this season in games in which Cameron has started. Because of that, I think the line is a little bit lower than what it should be. The Royals at minus 150 at home against the Pirates. You got to take that. So give me Kansas City tonight on the money line. Give me the White Sox plus 140 as home dogs tonight. Sean Burke going up against the Toronto Blue Jays and Jose Berrios. Toronto's won 10 of their last 11 games. They just came off a sweep against the Angels where they won all three of those games by one run. Right now, the Blue Jays are just having one of those seasons. They're having one of those runs where they're winning all of those close games. Eventually, that's going to run out. I think a little bit of a letdown after that great homestand that they had. So give me Chicago tonight at plus 140. Guardians and Astros tonight in Houston. You got Chris Gordon on the mound against Tanner Beebe. I'm going to take the Astros at, or excuse me, I'm going to take the Guardians at plus 115. This line stinks. You got Cleveland, who has lost 10 games in a row, against Houston, who's maybe playing as good at baseball as anybody right now. Them and the Tigers certainly looking like the best two teams in the American League. This line only being Astros minus 140 at home is pretty spooky. So the Guardians are due eventually to win a game at some point. They've lost 10 in a row, as I mentioned. Give me Cleveland tonight at plus 115. Rangers and Angels tonight in Anaheim. Jacob DeGrom against Yusei Kikuchi. Terrific pitching matchup. Both of these guys have pitched over 100 innings so far this season, and both have an ERA under 3. We're taking the under 7.5. We're going with Rangers on the money line as well. D-backs, Padres, as I mentioned, Yu Darvish making his first start of the season going up against Zach Gallen tonight for Arizona. I'm going to take Zona at plus 105, even though I do expect the Padres offense to score some runs. I think Arizona scores as well. Darvish is going to be out there a while. It's going to be mostly a bullpen game. So I like over 8, and I like the Diamondbacks on the money line. And then Phillies, Giants, give me under 7.5 in this game. It's a night game out in San Francisco with two good pitchers in Christopher Sanchez and Leighton Raup. I'm going to take under 7.5 in Giants and Phillies. All right, some best bets for us today as we wrap up the show with our favorite plays. Told you, B-Mills, I like a guy in going streaking in Padres and D-backs. Give me Jake Cronenworth to get a base hit today against Zach Gallen. Cronenworth in his career, 8-for-26 against Zach Gallen, putting together a nice season. So give me Cronenworth, our guy today, in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be Jacob DeGrom under 1.5 earned runs at plus 105. DeGrom has given up 2 earned runs or fewer in his last 14 starts. So you know right off the bat, he's only going to give up 2 earned runs. Let's just hope he only gives up 1 run or doesn't give up any runs. And against an Angels offense that has been struggling here a bit, I think there's a good chance that happens. So give me DeGrom under 1.5 earned runs at plus 105. Dog of the day is going to be the Guardians at plus 115 against the Astros. It's scary to try and pick the spot
where a team is going to end that long losing streak, but I feel like tonight is the night, and that is what the line is telling us. Cleveland is like when the Athletics had lost like 22 or 24 games. The A's are not that bad as they were, just like the Guardians are not this bad. They're not a team that should ever lose 10 games in a row. I think tonight they snap it, so give me Cleveland at plus 115. And finally, my best bet, we're going under 10.5 wins for Ohio State at minus 145. I think they lose week one to Texas. I think they drop the Penn State game as well. Maybe they lose to Michigan or another trap game along the way, but I'm going under 10.5 wins for Ohio State at minus 145. Thanks again to Andrew Gillis for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Tomorrow we continue our college football and NFL previews. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.